Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So Watling's Malin Head, Loop Head and Bloody Foreland, well, they're all points on the sea area forecast, and for many it's a very familiar listen every morning and evening. But what are all of these places like, and how important is that forecast for those at sea? Well, forecaster Joanna Donnelly is here now. Joanna, you're very welcome. You've just written and released this book, which I have in my hand, and I'll show it to the camera because we have cameras now on radio, which is a newish development. From Malin Head to Mizzen Head, a journey around the sea area forecast. But the first thing that is revealed in this book that piqued my interest is that you grew up not really interested in the weather. You arrived at it through another route.
Yeah, I think there are two types. Now, don't get me wrong. Working 28 years in the weather, I've developed something of an interest in the weather.
So we're going back to the starting point, aren't we?
But my background is maths and science. So I was a science obsessed child and young adult. So I came to meteorology is a science, and the foundation is in maths and physics. So I came to it from there. My husband, however, he would be more interested in weather, and he knows all the weather facts and weather science. And he came to it, although he is also a maths and physics guy, he came to it that way. So we both ended up in the same space, but coming from it.
So the science and maths carried you into meteorology.
That's right, yeah.
So then the book, which emphasises the importance of the sea area forecast as opposed to the general forecast, maybe that many people, you know, are glued to every single day. Will you explain to us why it is so important?
Well, it's the fundamentals, really, the sea area forecast. That's how we started. We started with the sea area forecast back in the mid-19th century, when sea travel became a year-round thing. We went from sailing ships that were whose travels was determined by the movement of the winds, into steam engine, which travelled all year round, and that then obviously fell under the influence of the weather. They needed to travel through storms, so the sea area forecast evolved then in order to protect lives at sea. Mm-hmm. And general weather forecasting evolved from that. So in actual fact, the sea area forecast came first. And it hasn't really changed all that much since it was developed in the mid-19th century. The sea area forecast is kind of exactly the same. We talk about the wind, the weather and the visibility. And the idea is that anybody at sea that can hear the sea area forecast can avoid bad weather and make it safe to land.
And just to lift the curtain a little bit, I was so interested to read how laborious it is to put that together. It takes hours.
Well, every forecast takes hours, but it's every 6 hours the forecast is updated. But the sea area forecast needs to be monitored at all times. And obviously all the forecasts need to be monitored at all times. But there are steps to take to produce a sea area forecast, and they need to be done laboriously, methodically, I think, is probably a more appropriate word every time. Yeah.
Now, this story in the book, which was fascinating, the Royal Charter Storm of 1859. Tell us that one, because this really shows us how important this sea area forecast was and is.
And it's funny because on the walls of Met Erin, if you get an opportunity to visit, there is an article about the Royal Charter Storm. And it was always there in the back of my mind about the storm. I knew about it. I knew it was where we started from. But in researching the book and then researching the people that were on the boat. And I think the book for me was more about the people as well as the science. So there had been a gold rush in Australia at the time, and a lot of people were moving to Australia and then bringing back their gold. So this ship was one of the new ships, a steamship that had suddenly we could get back from Australia without waiting for the right wet weather conditions. And it was a 20,000 kilometre journey. These people had left their homes in Europe to go to Australia to make their fortune, to bring it back to Europe. They got 20,000 kilometres along the journey and within sight of land, within 70 kilometres of their destination at Liverpool, the boat sank and they died. Hundreds of people died. The gold was lost and then recovered from the sea over the course of the next 50 years. You know, people were still going out and picking the gold off the thing. But this storm that it met caused absolute devastation right across the coasts of the UK, and from there developed the sea area forecast, the gale warnings initially, and then the sea area forecast.
And they did everything in their power to try and save that ship as it was coming in, and nothing worked because of the violence of the weather.
Exactly. They met storm force, then severe storms, and then up to hurricane force winds were met just off the coast of Anglesey. They could see land. Some people actually got ropes and walked out to guide people in, but they had their pockets full of gold and they didn't want to lose it. Mm-hmm. So they...
It's an extraordinary story. It might really be the subject of the next book.
Just that alone, on its own. Could you imagine the people? Because I'm trying to imagine what it would have been like on that ship to be a person, maybe with their children, women and children on that ship in the cabins, and just being tossed about.
Well, and making your celebratory journey back home on this fancy ship that takes 60 days to get from Australia, which in itself is a huge feat, and then it all goes wrong at the end. Anyway, let's come back to other matters in the book, because you made this decision to travel around the country. You mentioned Harm, your husband. Yeah. What did he think of that plan?
Yeah. It was all kind of, you know, it was a vague thing initially, and then it just sort of grew into something. I think all plans do, don't they? But we had our children are obviously half Dutch. We had been taking them to the Netherlands for years and years and years, always going back to the same place. We'd seen everything in the Netherlands. Netherlands isn't a big country; it's only about the size of Munster. And so, at the end of the summer, we're going to the Netherlands again. And I was like, we'd never been to Ireland. You know, our children hadn't been to Ireland. And then I went, oh, hold on a minute, I haven't been to Ireland. I hadn't been to any of these places. But Ireland is so full of so many places to visit. I think half of us are overwhelmed. We don't know where to begin. You know, we all know all these beautiful places around, but sure, where would I begin? Oh, I'll just stay in my garden because there's too much to think about. And then it was coming to the end of the summer. It was into near my birthday, around the time, it was the first anniversary of my mum's passing, actually. And I was waiting for, you know, when the first year is over, you're waiting to feel better.
Yes, because everyone says the first year is hard, and then you find out the second year is hard too.
Yes, exactly. Well, I knew that. I mean, I'd known, obviously, and I told myself the first year is the hardest. And then it was coming up, and not on necessarily the anniversary of her death, but the anniversary of the last weekend we had together when we watched the last movie we watched together and had the last glass of Baileys we had together. And this building tension was coming through me when I was thinking these days are coming.
Yeah.
And I did not feel better at all. And I'd been working, and I knew that there was a bad weather coming, a weather front was coming, rain was coming. And I got up one morning and I said, I'm going out and I'm going as far away as possible. And I drove to Loophead. I said to Harm, I'm taking the car, I'm going away, I'll be gone all day. And I drove through the rain into the sunshine on the other side of the rain. And I went all the way to Loophead.
On your own?
Yes, which was as far away as I could get on the day and get back that day of an electric car. So it had to be planned. But it all worked out to be possibly one of the most amazing days of my life, just because it was, everything just fell into place. It was a beautiful day in Clare. Loophead is possibly one of the most spectacular places in the world. I'd never been that far west in Clare before. And so, maybe metaphorically speaking, for the healing part of me that needed to be released. And I'm not really one of those people, but it worked and everything just happened. So
what
well
did you do
day.
when you got there?
Well, first of all, I charged the car. I'm driving an electric car in Ireland, and it worked. There was a parking space and there was a charger and it worked. So, hey, we're off to a good start. I met some wonderful people. I talked to them. Harm would say, well, who are you? You can't just go talk to people. And I was, of course I can, because I'm Irish and that's what we do. We walk into an environment and we start talking to people and they talk back. So I had this great conversation with these people. They told me all about Kilkee, because Kilkee was the town that on the way to Loophead. I'd booked a visit to the lighthouse. So after talking to them, went for a run. You know the way some days all you get done is a run and you think you're great. You got a run done today. Well, this day I not only got all the way to Loophead and had this wonderful conversation with these people, I went for a run. I went to the lighthouse. I met Martin and Simon, the guides at the lighthouse. And the lighthouse is just unbelievable. I think we all know the lighthouses are amazing, but when you're there in person looking up at these huge structures out into the sea, it was fantastic. And then I had a great lunch and then I came home and I was like, that was the best day ever.
And so, was that the day the idea for the book was born, or did you have it in the back of your mind before then?
Then it kind of began. Well, I went there so I could go to another one. And I had just actually read a book by Charlie Connolly called Attention All Shipping about the British shipping forecast. And I was like, well, OK, let's see if I can do this, if I can go to all of these places. And again, Harry was like, well, it's not going to work out like that. Not every day is going to be like that. And of course, every day wasn't like that. But every day brought something. Every visit to every headland. I went to 15 headlands and every visit to every headland brought something. Not the same thing, yeah, but something.
And so on each occasion, did you go off in the car on your own, or how did it work?
I did. Yeah, well, I live near Hoth, so I didn't have
to
take the car.
That was an easy one. Yeah.
But every day I went either on my own, but Harm actually came with me to Carlingford Lock and to Fairhead as well, actually. So it wasn't always on my own.
And they were little journeys of discovery. So you'd have a plan when you went there, who you were going to talk to and who you were going to meet. And then you had some people who you obviously hadn't planned to talk
exactly.
to. Randomers.
Exactly like that.
They're the best chats.
My plans weren't always very good plans. They were determined by the weather as well, because, you know, thankfully I had a little bit of a clue of what the weather was going to be like. So on some days it was more appropriate to go to one place or another because the weather would suit a visit to this place.
Yeah.
So and that's documented in the book, how these various places had different weather associated with them as well. So I was very lucky. I had a fantastic storm at Mizzenhead and beautiful blue skies in the west. And, you know, there was great weather as well.
And when it comes to what each of those places have in terms of forecasting equipment, do they have very modern equipment installed, or do they have the older equipment that still works and still does the job?
We're automatic now at all of our stations.
Okay.
So all of our stations are automatic now. We've still got manned at the airports. So there's still people at the airports. There needs to be. But the coastal stations, so let's say Valentia and Malinhead are two of the oldest stations, because they were part of the original coastal reports that Admiral Fitzroy established way back then, just after the Royal Charter storm. So those are still reporting the same information that they've been reporting now for nearly 200 years now.
So what is who is the book for? Is it for somebody who wants a little trip around all of those places where you went to visit, or is it for people who are specifically interested in forecasting and the sea area forecast?
That's a really good question, Claire. And that's what had me nearly losing sleep all summer, because I was so busy putting this book together. And it's, you know, my first book was the Great Irish Weather Book, and that's pure weather. And that wrote itself in a few minutes because I had all of that in my head. But this is a different book, and it's a little bit more personal because it's me. I went to these places and I talked to these people. So now I'm asking people to be interested in what I'm interested in, which was a little bit, oh, I've got some ego thinking people are going to be interested in that. But there is, the weather is in there, the severe weather, the storms, and I'm trying to explain how those storms materialised, the physics behind it. So there's a little bit of science. There's
and a little bit of Joanna in there as well.
Bit of Joanna and a bit of history.
Listen, I have to ask you, because somebody out in the office said to me they're pulling out the barbecue this weekend. It's going to be great weather. Are they right, or are they deluded?
Well, it's going to be warm weather. Let's say that. There's some tropical air coming up over the country, so we're expecting temperatures between 19 and 23 degrees generally, but possibly higher than that. Now, the all-time record for October is 25. So the forecast is for 23. We might get the 24. There's an outside chance we might break the record, but we're looking at possibly 24 degrees.
That's
on Saturday. But it could also come with cloud. So we're not necessarily forecasting the sky.
Not sunshine. Yeah. And
but
maybe
warm.
Some wind. So the sausages might be blowing off the barbecue. Joanna, thank you very much. And the best of luck with the book. It's called From Malinhead to Mizzenhead, A Journey Around the Sea Area Forecast. And it's a beautiful book as well, if that makes sense, to hold and to look at. The best of luck with it.